بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The theme of this session is Islam in America. Islam began here a long time ago. Tomorrow, inshallah, I will speak about that, about the possibility of pre-Columbian and the certainty of Columbian roots of Islam in America. In the 19th century, the renewal and reappearance of Islam occurred with immigration, and then in the 20th century with conversion. In fact, even in the 19th century with conversion. In the 1960s, Islam became in the United States a national phenomenon. In the late 1970s, Muslims began to organize and to mobilize politically. Since the 1990s, Muslims have become a conspicuously visible part of American society. In 1954, the total Muslim population of the United States was around 30,000. In the early 1970s, the total Muslim population of the United States was around 100,000. And today, in the Bay Area alone, there are more than that. In Greater Chicago, the number of Muslims is something like 350,000, more than three times the total population of the 1970s, of the early 1970s. It is generally agreed that the population of Muslims today in the United States is about 6 million, and that is regarded to be an underestimation, but a relatively certain one. So we have a critical mass now in the United States. We have visible institutions, we have increased media coverage, and this has, of course, led to Muslim self-awareness and self-consciousness. This minority that we belong to, the Muslims of America, is unique in Islamic history. Never in the history of Islam has there existed a minority of Muslims that had the potential to affect the world like this minority in the United States. If we had these same and growing numbers in Australia or Europe or Brazil, we would never have that kind of potential. But here in the United States we have them, and that is, of course, because of the nature of the United States, which is that it is the global power. And also that the United States, unlike any city in the world, has three global cities. Many countries like Germany and France and Japan have one, but we have three: New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. So this makes us an extremely important group, that if we succeed in the work that we are doing here, then the very nature of the country will announce that reality throughout the world. However, it must be stressed that Islam in the United States is still young, it is in the embryonic stage, and that we are at present struggling primarily with ourselves. The topic that Sheikh Abdullah bin Baya and that Dr. Madkur talked about is very appropriate, that we have to learn how to live with each other first. We've got to learn to live with our diversity and our differences of opinion. But again, we have a dynamic potential which no Muslim minority in history has ever had. We have an immense mission which is religious and global and cosmic, and Allah has willed to open for us an incredible window in history. But as in other times in human history, it would be very foolish if we were to think that that window that has now been opened will remain open forever. It will close. And therefore we have a limited time, 50 years or less or more, in which we must get our act together, and we must be able to exploit to our benefit and the benefit of this country this opportunity that we have. We have to learn to live with each other. The future of Muslims in America will depend, inshallah, on the effectiveness with which we learn to live in America with ourselves and with others around us. We must seek dynamic engagement. Our approach to American society must be that, dynamic engagement. We must avoid cultural, social, and political marginalization. If we fail to engage American society dynamically or to take part effectively in all forums in this society and to create an enlightened discourse, an enlightened dialogue with this society, then that failure in this historical window of opportunity will not only have been unwise, but it will have been unsafe. And it will constitute a perilous, although self-made, danger, a danger that we have brought upon ourselves. We must learn to form effective alliances and coalitions with appropriate groups within American society. We must define ourselves. We must not let others define us. And that is what is happening now. And that is what has been going on for some time. We must have a self-definition that is both Islamic and American, and that allows us to be authentic Muslims while engaging American society positively. And this is again what Dr. Madkur and what Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya were speaking about. And that is the whole role of culture and the cultural dynamic. The self-definition that we assume is what will determine our attitudes towards culture, the making of a culture. We must make a Muslim culture, towards politics, and towards the broad social and economic issues that concern us. Religious pluralism began here. What we call today religious pluralism began in the United States. But our Muslim ethnic, racial, and religious mix, the nature of this community that we have, despite that pluralism, does not correspond with anything that the Americans know in their experience. We are a unique community in this country. Americans have never seen this kind of a phenomenon that brings people together in the name of a common faith, despite their racial and ethnic and other linguistic differences. And the point that I want to make about that is that because Americans have never known this kind of a community in their midst, then also it is in the nature of things that Americans tend not to understand us. They tend to misunderstand us. It's not just sinister. It's also part of the social psychology of a society that has never seen people like us before. Americans, as you know, tend to understand social groups in terms of race, skin color, national origin, and language. And religion is an element in that definition of others in America, but in the American experience, religion always follows these other elements. So we are very unusual in the American experience. We are very confusing from the standpoint of American social psychology. Therefore, you have got to introduce yourself. We have to introduce ourselves. We have to make ourselves known to this society. And we have to do it authentically. We have to do it properly, but we have to do it well. And we cannot leave that work for other people. And if we leave it to other people, then we are going to continue to be misunderstood. And those people, those Muslims who are on the periphery, those Muslims who are divisive, or those who might be called, for example, terrorists, they are the ones who will make the definition that will be put on us because of the fact that that is in the very nature of things. that it is very difficult for Americans to understand the nature of this community. It is very difficult for Americans to understand the nature of this community. American society is at the cutting edge of modern technology. And this also means that American society today has immense social, psychological, spiritual needs. And these needs also happen to be radically different from the social, psychological needs of earlier traditional societies, agrarian societies, or mercantile capitalist societies. This is a new breed of society. We must learn how to meet these needs, how to meet these social, psychological needs of the American people. And we must cater to them. I mean to cater to all the groups in the society according to their spiritual, their social, psychological needs. We have the panacea. We have the cure. But we have to know how to use the pharmacy and how to apply the medicine. We must be relevant here and now. We must take the right course. We must make the right decisions. Our prophetic law, and this is made clear by the speeches that we had, and inshallah will be made very clear in the days ahead, our prophetic law is not metaphysical theory, nor is it bound to the social realities of other times. It is a living social praxis. It is a living social practice, and it must be applicable here and now. And it is, but we have to learn that. We have to show ourselves to be not just a religion, but also to be a culture, and a newly forming culture, and the representatives of a universal civilization. Again, one of the greatest mistakes that we could ever make in this country, in this window of opportunity that we have, is to marginalize ourselves, to make ourselves appear or to be marginal actors within American civilization, actors who are essentially insignificant and irrelevant, actors whose interests are to live in their undisturbed comfort zones or in scattered ghettos through the country. We must become a part of the cultural landscape of America. Sociologically, until you have a culture, you do not exist. The African American exists in this society because he has a culture. The Jew exists in this culture and has a bastion because he has a culture. We also must have a culture, and as it was pointed out before, one that is in harmony with the African-American tradition, the Anglo-American tradition, the Hispanic tradition, the Native American tradition, and so forth. So we have to learn to live with others, but also to learn to live with ourselves. This community that we are part of has immense diversity. We are over 60 ethnic groups, speaking dozens of different languages of origin. We are all the races of the world. And this is our asset. This is a great thing. But also it means that if we cannot learn to live Islamically with each other and to tolerate those differences, then of course we are ultimately destroyed. But the greatest thing that we can offer to American society, especially in this age, is a religion that is dynamic, that is practical, that applies to all aspects of life, but also that brings all people together and all races together. But again, to assume that we would ever make our Muslim community homogenous, that we would ever remove these differences that are between us, that's of course very unrealistic. You know, we will always have to live with diversity of ethnicity, of race, of language, even with Hispanic Muslims, for example, and different points of view. So we must learn how to live in unity with our diversity, and when we do that, then our diversity becomes the powerful asset that we have in this country. Of course, at the present time, there is a tendency in the Muslim community of the United States toward
distinct sectarian and ideological antagonism among Muslims. And you see it on the internet. You see it elsewhere. You see it in the mosques and elsewhere. But this has to be checked. This is a pathology that we must strive to cure. If it is left unchecked, if we do not bring an end to that antagonism, then it will diminish our chances for a meaningful discourse and a dynamic exchange between ourselves and, more importantly, between ourselves and between the others whom we live among. To end, I would like to say that, again, going back to the fact that you have to have a culture, we will never survive in this country without a culture. Muslims have never done that. They have never sought to do that. When the Muslims were in Bosnia, they had Bosnian Muslim culture. When the Muslims were in Morocco, they developed Moroccan Muslim culture. When they were in China, where they still are, of course, they developed Chinese Muslim culture. So we have to have our culture. But that culture must not be just beautiful architecture and art and things of that nature, poems, poetry, literature, but also it must be a culture of tolerance and understanding and being able to live with each other despite our different points of view and despite our ethnic differences. Again, as Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayyah said, differences of opinion are a treasure. When Allah commands us to consult each other and to live by counsel, the corollary of that is to have different opinions and to share them and to discuss them. So we have to learn to live with each other on the basis of understanding. We have to accomplish that goal, which is the theme of this seminar, which is unity and diversity. Now I'll end by saying that this is the time to work. We don't have any time to waste. If you think that this excellent condition which has developed in America over the last 10 years will remain forever, then you don't know anything about history. That's not what happens. This, as we say in English, in America, make hay when the sun is shining. When you cut the hay, then you cut it when the sun is shining, because if the rain comes, it destroys your hay. But when the sun is shining, you've got to go out and cut the hay and bind the hay and put the hay up. And that's what we have to do now. Again, the population of Muslims in the United States today is over 6 million. Conversion in the United States today, by probably the best statistics, and again, it's underrated, is about 20,000 a year. That's 57 Americans a day. 57 Americans a day are becoming Muslims. And 67% are African Americans, 27% are Anglo-Americans, and 6% are Hispanics, and Native Americans are less than 1%. But this is a great statistic. Yet, this is a small number. This is a trickle. And the history of Islam shows that this religion has a tremendous capacity to win followers. When the Muslims came into Spain in 711, the army, of course, was Berber. It was over 90% Berber. And that army, where did they come from? They had embraced Islam as the Muslims just a few years before had moved across North Africa. They were new Muslims who brought Islam to Iberia, Spain and Portugal. And before the conquest had been consolidated in 713, and some historians say it wasn't a conquest, it was a welcoming party, because most of the Spanish cities welcomed the Muslims and didn't fight the Muslims. But before the Muslims could consolidate the control of Spain and Portugal in 3 years, the majority of the Muslims of Spain and Portugal had already become not Arabs, not Berbers, but Hispanics. Hispanics. Of course, Muslims were a minority in the overall population, but among the Muslims, the vast majority were already Hispanics. This religion has an incredible power to spread, And we have seen that throughout Islamic history. So what do you expect? When we get our act together, when we begin to learn to live in this new social environment, this new social universe that we live in, the internet and other things, and we know how to meet the social psychological needs of the American people, one of which is to remove anxiety, to give you tranquility of heart, you know, then there will be conversion. When we begin to translate the books, when we begin to get the materials out, there will be conversion. And it won't be 20,000. Thousands and thousands. And then what are we going to do? What are we going to do? If you're going to have a wedding, we went, for example, yesterday, many of us, to dinner at Dr. Alusi's, who entertained the guests, and he had a very beautiful feast that night. Of course, he and his family and friends were preparing for that days before they had the dinner. If you're going to have a wedding, you prepare for the wedding before the guests arrive. Right? So that's what we have to do now. We have to prepare for the wedding guests. And how do we prepare for the wedding guests? By building these communities, by building the infrastructures, by defining ourselves in American society properly, by writing the books, by doing the research. Ice cream cones, for example. What do Americans like better than ice cream cones? And yet the ice cream cone is an example of Arab-American cooperation. In 1904, in St. Louis, in the centennial of 1904, the American was selling ice cream. He didn't run out of plates. The ice cream was melting in the plates. And so Anas Hamawi, an American Muslim immigrant who was making these Syrian waffles, went over to him, the thin Syrian waffles, and he said, fold it up, put the ice cream in this. And then the melted ice cream won't bother anybody. That's the ice cream cone. And although that is a trivial fact, because we made the ice cream cone. You know, we made the ice cream cone. So we have to know who we are, where we've been, what we've done, and we have to prepare for the wedding guests. Someday, inshallah, and I hope it won't be long, the floodgates will be opened. African Americans, Anglo Americans, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans will come into this religion by the thousands, if not by the millions. And so what are we going to do when that happens? We have got to have the communities that are intelligent and wise and educated, that know how to receive these wonderful men and women, this generation that is to come, inshallah. So I leave you with that. And let us learn to have unity and diversity, and let us prepare for the wedding guest. Wassalamu alaikum.
Where exactly was Imam Jamil?
Well, we don't know. I don't know where Imam Jamil was. I don't know if he was on the West End or if he was somewhere else. Imam Jamil.